The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and may or may not be shared with the staff and management of this network.
Ghostly Talk!
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on September 13th, 2009.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Smiles, everybody, smiles, because tonight, Karen Skulsnow, Ben Radford, and Blake Smith from Monster Talk join us. And then, Carlisle Bergquist explains 10 billion beats.
That was wrong.
I'm in Michigan.
Yeah, you're in the state.
Thank heaven.
And finally, I get to talk to him, because Lord knows it doesn't happen throughout the week.
I texted you the entire weekend we were gone, until you said quit texting me.
Wow. So you guys talk.
5 texts for an entire weekend.
Well, it was
and a weekend. I haven't heard from him since then.
I fell off the planet.
Wow. What was I thinking? We talk all the time.
The planet.
Oh, sorry about that.
Wow.
Dude, there's something messed up with my stomach. I think it was the martinis we were drinking last night. I'm not used to that. And, yeah, well, you know. Okay, I'm off the wagon.
Right. Yeah, I see that.
He's preparing for Mothman.
Ah, Mothman will be exquisite then.
Let's get into that. There's a few things we can discuss about the Mothman Festival. For some reason, we don't have Jeff on the show tonight. That was my goof. But we'll help Jeff.
What are you thinking?
That's not a problem. We can take care of that for Jeff. As you guys know, the Mothman Festival is coming up next weekend. It's one of our keystone events throughout the year. If you don't know the skinny on the Mothman Festival, well, you must not listen to this show very much, because it's pretty much what we talk about all year long. 8th Annual Mothman Festival, September 19th through 20th. That's Saturday and Sunday, next Saturday and Sunday. Website you can go to for more information, you can go to mothmanfestival.com. It's all right there for you. Basically, I can pimp this for Jeff real easy. I can do that. I have all the documentation.
He can do it.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doug.
I just wanted to say, the Mothman Festival is one of the things that we do every year since we went there that first time, which was, what, the third Mothman Festival?
I know, it's our fifth year. It's our fifth
it
year
was the
going.
Third. So, yeah.
It's our fifth year going, and yeah, it had to be the third one, too.
It's addictive. It's fun. It's free. It's addictive.
Yeah.
It's the people, the event, It's just an amazing, amazing weekend Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which of course is in and of itself fascinating.
Yeah, it's the fest. It's just a wide variety of stuff, and namely the speaker schedule, the speakers we have this year. Jeff Wamsley, for some ungodly reason, trusted us enough to put together the speakers.
So we've got clowns and magicians.
Magicians and clowns and strippers, all kinds of great
stage stuff. Stage hypnosis. It'll be great.
By the way, Doug, you're the stripper.
Yeah, oh, great. Ooh,
well,
running in fear.
The specification for any speaker this year is that they had to wear assless chaps during their presentation.
Right.
And, you know, that's the only thing they really need to
do. And 80s hair.
80s hair?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
80s hair and assless chaps, right?
Speaking of 80s, I got something for you after the show, a CD I have to give you.
Oh, cool.
Don't let me forget.
Yay. I want a CD.
You got a CD. I was going to actually throw it in as part of the repertoire for tonight, but I didn't get any permission to use it.
Okay.
Speakers, though, Chad Lambert's going to be speaking again this year. Andy and Tanya Kaiser. Who the hell are those people?
I don't know.
They're hot.
I hope they're interesting.
Susan Shepherd, awesome. Another good friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Another girl we have not had on the show yet. Have we had her on the show before?
I don't think so.
We should work
I don't
out.
Know why, because the very first Mothman Festival, I went there, and she has a table there pretty much every year, and she had this thing called the Derenberger tape.
Uh-huh.
And I was just immediately attracted to them. I'm like, it was a CD, even though it's, you know, called tapes, right? It was all on a CD, and I'm like, I want to hear those. I really want to hear those. I really want to hear those.
Yeah.
She had, like, one copy left or something. And,
And
I said, oh, I want that. And she says, well, you know, it's on the table. It's for sale. And I'm like, I know, but I want it. And and so she says, well, maybe it'll be here at the end. I don't know. And so I ran off, and then I'm like, no, I've got to go. I just have to buy it. I can't wait to see if it will be left over.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went and I bought it, and therefore I possessed.
And we listened to it the whole way back.
We listened to it the way back, and it was just really.
And we almost got into an accident because of it.
I don't remember that part.
I do.
What happened? I don't remember. I must have been passed out in the back seat or something.
Mm-mm. No, you weren't. Everyone was awake. It's just the tape lulled me into.
Well, that guy's voice got to be a little tense.
Not paying attention.
But the content is so incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, I am so glad I got the CD.
Yeah.
And she, that's just one of many things that she has there. Mm. And so. Yeah,
I'd love to get her on the show sometime before the end of the year. I'd like to have a discussion with her. James A. Willis is going to be another speaker.
Absolutely stellar.
Goes without saying how great James A. Willis is. If there's something you need to see speak that day, it's going to be James A. Willis. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is going to be joining us again. Susan Swiatek, a new addition. MUFON Virginia, president of MUFON Virginia.
Virginia or West Virginia?
Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Virginia, MUFON Virginia.
The next state over, isn't it?
I think so. Travis Short is going to be another speaker.
Yep.
We're going to talk about something with Travis here in a second also. Andy Colvin will be joining us again, and then another new addition, Mr. Jason Gowan.
Yay!
Yay!
I'm so happy I get to grab his ass again.
During his presentation, hopefully.
Absolutely.
There may be another addition to that, working on that, but that's kind of the schedule we got put together so far over the 2 days of the festival. Another thing I have to mention is that the speakers, if you're a repeat guest for the festival, you know that we usually have the speakers in the amphitheater thing down, you know,
by the water.
Not going to be happening this year. We pushed for it, and Wamsley was nice enough to get us the theater down the street. I always forget the name of the theater.
He forgets the name of the theater.
No, we'll have that stuff worked out.
So you mean no drunken idiots yelling at their kids, disturbing the speakers?
No boats docking, none of that stuff, yeah.
Wow.
That's going to take half the fun.
There is a theater you can't miss. It's next to the Iron Gate. You can't miss the theater.
Right.
It'll all be when you're down, if you're coming.
Air conditioning? That is so wrong.
Slide, projector, the whole thing. We got it all worked out. Wamsley.
I object.
Jeff Wamsley really did a great job on this.
I object.
I'm boycotting. I object.
He's going to take all the rusticness away from So, but also, one thing also, I don't know if people that are coming to the festival, if you're coming down early, like Thursday night, the timing, well, I'm going to try to just ad-lib this the best I can. Travis Short, we just mentioned, there is a film that they just finished called The Mothman Chronicle.
Right.
I think. Oh, my God. You know what, dude? I'm just not cutting the mustard tonight. I'm sucking. I know I am. I'm referring to my notes.
That was me offering support.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
We both agree. We concur.
Dark Wings.
Yeah.
The actual film.
Dark Wings.
Yeah. Mothman Chronicles. Travis Short, who did this film, basically, he's VP of Business Development for Black River Films, which is that's who did this film. They're going to be premiering this film the night before.
Sweet.
Actually, it's going to be, let me see here, the Iron Gate, it's going to be, I imagine, the same theater, you know, next to the Iron Gate. We're going to be doing our speakers and stuff like that.
Probably.
As you can see, I'm very well prepared to talk about this stuff tonight. I wrote it down, but, you know, they're going to be premiering this the night before. It says here, looks like 6 p.m. they're going to be doing this. Let me just take a look here also at Black River Films. But this, if you're down there early, like the night before, because some people like to get there early and stuff like that, sometimes, well, you can check this thing out. Dark Wings and Mothman Chronicle, Tuesday. Oh, my God.
Tuesday.
No. He's just reading a website now.
I'm trying to read a website.
He's
now.
Down to reading a website.
Oh, it's so sad.
Dude, it's been one of those weekends I had two times.
How about this? We have
I got it right here. Okay, here we go. Black River Media and Black River Films have announced the premiere of Dark Wings, The Mothman Chronicle, Thursday, September 17th, 8 p.m. at the State Theater on the town's Main Street.
So the State Theater.
State
we
Theater.
Found out the name of the theater, plus...
I just work for these people.
And I can also tell you the name of the bar to avoid. Well,
according
to...
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is like...
Do not go to Double D's.
D&D or something.
It's Double D.
Double D, okay.
According to Charlie McCracken, director of the documentary, who he actually directed it, this concept has been formulating for some time and will represent a joint venture between Black River Companies and the town of Point Pleasant and the historic Iron Gate Restaurant. So there's Iron Gate. Dark Wings, The Mothman Chronicle, its first feature-length documentary film. Jesus Christ.
And we're, see it there.
I'm melting down, dude. I'm really melting.
So if you get there Thursday.
Get there Thursday. Check that out. Yeah.
Go to the Dark Wing
premiere. Yeah.
It's a red carpet affair. You have to dress in something, you know, fit for
all
Hollywood.
The info. All
I'm thinking spandex, leather, and pleather.
All the info is at blackriverfilms.com. You can get all the info from blackriverfilms.com. So if you're interested in going to that, it's the night before. Well, it's Thursday night, the night before. The official festival doesn't kick off till Saturday, but a lot of people are there on Friday, I think. So
I think that since Marilyn Manson, you know, became really, really big, guys can now wear those gloves that are, like, made of black lace that go up to their elbows. And things like that. That would be appropriate for
Doug,
something
I
like
would
Dark
beat
River.
The living daylights out of you if you did.
The official release of the film is September 22nd, 2009, by the way, so it's coming right up.
That's also the release, or the premiere of the fourth season of Heroes.
I also have to mention, that's also...
Ooh!
This coming Tuesday, September 15th, is the release of the new Teenage Bottle Rocket album, They Came from the
Sweet.
Shadows.
Okay, we have to make a calendar.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that on Tuesday.
Ah.
Which they're playing October 29th in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That he remembers.
It's punk rock. But, I mean, they're playing October 29th. I think it's the 20th.
Okay. For those of you who may not be putting this together, Teenage Bottle Rocket does, at the very end of Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, thank you very
when
much.
When we do like the fade out, we say our goodbyes and blah, 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 and thank you and everything. And then we go, and then it does what we call a bump out. I don't know if that's like the technical term, but that's what we call it. And it also allows stations to fit us into schedules, right? Because they can fade it out however they want. Well, there is a song that plays, and not all of it, but a little bit, that's something about going down into the basement.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down into the basement tonight kind of thing is the...
Yeah.
And that is Teenage Bottle Rocket.
Yeah, October 30th, 2009, 8 p.m. at Mixtape with Cobra Skulls, Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm going to that for sure. So if there's anybody out there in Grand Rapids that wants to come, I'm making an appearance at the Teenage Bottle
Rocket
Show.
Here we go. Josh making an appearance.
No, I think
my immediate appearance schedule is the Teenage Bottle Rocket Show in Grand Rapids.
I've gotten a couple emails from people saying, "Hey, we really dig the out music now that you guys are using. It's really, you know, really cool." So if there's somebody out in Grand Rapids, you know, fire me an email. Maybe we'll hook up and go to the show together. Because I'm gonna have to go over myself because. Amber and Tom are speaking for Amber's new book.
Amber is so popular now.
Well, yeah, so she can't...
She's not going to talk to us much longer.
Do you know, I actually purchased a copy of the book,
mm-hmm.
and I set it on my nightstand.
Mm-hmm.
And I leafed
and
through it.
And he used it as a coaster.
No, but I did set it on my nightstand.
I figure he'll finish reading it this day, 2027.
Okay, that's about... Right.
And it's not a very thick book.
That's about right for a schedule for me reading a book. Yeah. But I did purchase it, and it is on my nightstand, awaiting me to actually pour into the first chapter.
I had my copy personally handed to me by the author.
So I had my copy personally signed by the author.
Which makes me... You don't want to know what she did to mine, but... It makes it oh so special.
Wow, that copy is not leaving your library, then, is it?
No. It'll be on eBay next week.
Well, Amber's book is out. At least we can segue into that. Amber's book
I
is
guess
out.
We've done that, haven't we? Yeah.
We got a little card right here. This is pretty cool. I'm keeping this here just to keep reminding me her little postcard she has going for this thing. Her book's out, Ghost and Legends of Michigan's West Coast by Amber Rose Hammond. And you can get it. You can actually purchase it at Michigan's Other Side. That's their website, michigansotherside.com. You can also link to it in our merch section on the Ghostly Talk website, which will take you there, too. But if you just really don't feel like typing michigansotherside.com into your browser, just go click down on our merch stuff down on the left side of the site. It'll take you right there if you want.
Cool.
So definitely check that out, too. So, and also, I just want to reiterate that, though, too. If you're going to be down in Moth... Point Pleasant. On Thursday night, check out the documentary. Again, blackriverfilms.com. You can check that out. Get all the info there for that. So, cool.
Why wouldn't somebody go to Mothman? What would be
some people have
not
have to work.
Work is a good excuse.
Yeah, I mean, there's people have to work and stuff like that. We just managed to make it. It's part of our DNA now, so I don't think we can really get out of it. We have to keep going every year.
Well, I know. I look forward to it every single year now.
Yeah.
And I just think that might be a reason not to go, because you don't want to get addicted to going to the Mothman Festival every year.
Well, knowing... Here's, I think, the main reason people don't go, because they know Ghostly Talk will be there every year.
So,
and they're like, God, I really want to go, but I don't want to see those people.
What if I run into them and I don't want to? Yes.
I'm the last person to go up to anybody and go, hey, you want to talk?
No, that's Doug.
But Chad Lambert, every single year, Lambert says, this is my last year here. And every single year, he's there.
He's coming.
Rosemary Ellen Guiley is there every year.
Rosemary will never miss it. Rosemary loves going to it like we do.
She loves the Mothman Festival, and as do I. And,
yeah.
I mean...
It's a great time for everybody.
It's also excellent for people watching.
Oh, people
if
watching
If you like people
is...
watching, you have to go to the Mothman Festival. You have to.
It's as good as Vegas.
Yeah.
It is the Vegas of the East.
It really is.
Without the gambling or drinking. It's amazing.
No, there's still
drinking.
Oh, there's drinking.
It's just that haven't
Don't
played.
Cut out the
Maybe
drinking.
We should call, right, maybe right. We should just call Wamsley. You want to just call Wamsley?
I sincerely am going to drink at the Ghostly Talk table.
We've only got a few minutes left. I am.
Ooh. I'm going to have a cooler at the Ghostly Talk table.
Can I get you one of those beer can coolers, like a really tacky one? That's
one of
like,
the hats
get
with
her
beer.
Done or something? I think that would be awesome.
I'm working on it.
I just want you to say get her done. You're a freaking idiot, but I love you.
Obviously, we're ready for the Mothman Festival.
Tanya said she's drinking during her presentation. No fair.
Yes.
That's okay, because I have to do a sneak attack ass grab on Andy and Tanya during their presentation. They know it's coming, but they don't know when.
Oh, perfect. Absolutely perfect. Can we, like, actually sit there in the audience with wine?
I don't see why not.
And straws?
We'll have to make a side trip through Indiana.
Yes, we have
pick
to
up a case of wine. Obviously,
we're going to have
from Indiana.
We're going to have to leave Wednesday in order to get there by Friday.
Pick up a case of wine. Sit at the Mothman Festival with our bottle of wine and a straw.
Yes,
exactly. Apparently, because we're that tacky.
In a brown paper bag. Yes.
Yes. Ooh, in a brown paper bag. Yes.
With a Gator Gun T-shirt.
And drink wine the entire day.
Oh.
I see me falling into the Ohio River. Anyone else?
Pretty much that's what I see happening, too, with that plan.
Okay.
Oh, bad plan.
Did we give you enough time to get that all worked out there?
I'm trying something here.
Literally, we only have 9 minutes left of the whole thing.
I can make it work, man. I mean, we'll figure it out. Cut out that That pisses me off about
you. You gotta do it
with
more attitude.
God, man, that gets on my nerves. Got it.
Yes, now I know how to get on
my nerves. Now he knows how to get on my nerves.
Woo!
Yeah, thanks. You finally found my Achilles heel.
Nope. Now you're done.
This new Skype sucks, by the way.
Don't worry.
I hate this new Skype.
You can
program
him in later, and then we can talk about the Mothman Festival.
Too late.
Oh, is it working?
I think. I don't know.
We're so professional, I think.
Let's see if we get him. He's going to be like, who's calling me?
He's not even going to know who it is. It comes out as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Or something like that. He won't answer. Can we prank call him?
We can just leave a message. He won't answer. Whatever.
Come on, pick up Wamsley.
We'll just leave a, I don't know.
Jeff.
Nasty voice.
Oh, Jeff.
Oh, like he can hear you.
He hung up on us.
Hey, this is Jeff. Sorry I missed your call. Just leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
What do you want to say?
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, this is Scott from Ghostly Talk.
And this is Doug from Ghostly Talk.
And I'm Bonnie.
We're doing the show right now, you see, and we were just talking about the Mothman Festival, and we figured, you know, we'd call you and just give you, you know, call you kind of the complete blue to screw with you.
Yeah.
And maybe get a couple, you know, a couple other tidbits.
We wanted some sound bites. We have to provide them.
Yeah,
but that's
okay.
We'll do it. Anything for the Mothman Festival.
Yeah, you know.
Dude, we're really looking forward to it. We know it's this upcoming weekend, and there's a great guest lineup. It's going to be awesome weather.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
you worked on that, right? You did do the no rain dance and all.
Yeah.
Naked
and by the river, right? I'm just really looking forward to it this weekend. We will see you then.
Bye, Jeff. See you, man. See, now I have a feeling my phone's going to blow up here in about 2 seconds. I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing, man?
And that will be fun.
No,
for
it's
going to
be great. The Mothman, don't forget also there's going to be the Mothman tours, the hayrides,
yes,
the
absolutely.
Tour bus.
The
and
one
that
I keep
stuff.
Buying tickets for, we never go on.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've bought like 50 tickets, I think, in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just haven't actually gone on it yet.
But, all around, lots of vendors, the whole thing. I mean, it's just it's a festival. It's a festival, you know. I mean, it's fantastic. So we can't stand up at this.
A festival.
And we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward.
In France.
We apparently are snobby
now. Well, we will be drinking wine.
And eating
from
cheese.
Straws.
From straws with
eating cheese. Every kind of cheese you can imagine. Wine imported from Indiana. Late night tacos. Is it break time yet?
No, you got another 6 minutes. It's
gonna be break time. Because
I'm gonna let you guys just keep jamming, just keep riffing like this.
Cause,
Doug,
I'm so
glad you're back in studio.
I have no energy.
This actually is like, if I did call you, this is just like a phone call that's between you and me. Isn't
I know.
It?
See how fun this is. This is why you used to
this,
call me.
You know, for the past 25 minutes or whatever, I've not thought of work, and I love it. I'm really, really, really
this
excited about
it. This is why you
it.
Used to call me. Remember it. Start doing it again.
I do remember it. I will. When are...
That sounded sincere, didn't it? Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I remember
that. I'll get
well.
Right on that. By the way,
Scott,
Scott,
you got anything?
You got
anything,
Bonnie's
anything?
Number? Because I took it out of my phone.
Yeah. So what's up?
Oh, this is going to be quite a ride on Friday going down to the Mothman.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh. And I hope we have all 8 windows.
Oh, gosh, I'm really hoping.
Yeah.
I do know we have door locks now.
Sweet.
I'm not even kidding. Because I don't
have to, like, wait for you to get in the car, straddle the console, and unlock the door.
And I don't have to say every single time you get out of the car, manually lock the door, please.
He said it, like, 410 times. Yep. 9 times out of 10, I've already locked the door and shut it, and he's still saying it.
I'm just like, I don't know. But now the little clicker thingy works.
I love it when the clicker works.
It's awesome. I got that fixed. That was $60, but it was worth it because even if I use it 60 times, that'll be a dollar a time. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll use it more than that.
I just sincerely hope we get there with all windows intact.
Oh, are we going to get to see Shake's exotic cousin this year?
I do hope so, because last year, well...
We were freezing.
I'm going to go make some coffee back in a minute.
You might as well, because Chuck and I are just going to roll with it here.
You guys are doing good, man. You're ripping. I'm digging this.
On the way to the Mothman, that's another thing. A big part of the trips, for me anyway, is getting there and getting back. And on the way to the Mothman Festival, this was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we were driving there without a driver window.
And Doug wasn't smart enough to pull his hood up.
And didn't pull my hood up. And we pull into this, like, where
it
we
was
can
a gas
get gas
station.
Or whatever. And there's this huge sign, and it says, like,
Malt.
Meet Mr. Malt or whatever.
No,
yeah, that's
it. Said Malt. Shake's exotic cousin.
Now you've got to remember, we were already freezing.
It's when it became exotic.
It's pretty exotic, isn't it? Ooh la la, that malt.
I don't know, it made me hot.
What trailer is this getting served out of, man?
I don't. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's like September, and they're trying to sell
and
malt.
And 40 below.
And we
don't have a window.
Hey, you're both wrapped up like a couple of gangsters
it
in sweatshirts.
It was terrible. But
Shake's exotic cousin. I had no idea the malt. Is it just a powder you throw in there? I mean, I used to make malt.
Oh, I love malt.
Just remember, it is Shake's exotic
malt ball with the malt balls, whatever. You can get the
wild. Oh, I love those.
Those are good. Yeah, those are real good.
I hate those.
I even like malts, you know, where they take the powder and they put it in. Mm-hmm.
That's all it is, though. It's nothing really exotic, though.
Do you think it's from a plant? I mean, what is it?
You snort it. You can snort it. It's got a little bit more of a jolt than a regular milkshake does.
Wow. Oh, yes, it does.
I don't recall a milkshake having a jolt, but okay.
You just see the cows laying out lines in the pasture out there. And
the French cows that are protecting the marijuana.
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah, that means, you know, they're moving up now. They're working with Escobar now. I mean, what are you doing here? Get away from my pot. And they have to be smoking cigarettes, too. The friggin' cows.
Send me another whopper.
Give me another. Roll me another cigarette. You friggin' Americans, you bunch of pigs, eh? Piss off, you fucking Americans, eh? Jeez, oh, Pete. Yeah, so...
So that's part of getting there.
I'm really confused right now.
The craziness getting to the festival.
Doug and I have more fun on the road than we usually do at our destination, is what he's trying
to say.
It
isn't about the Holy Grail. It's about getting to the Holy Grail.
Unless Gore Girl and... If she's there, pretty much all bets are off.
Then we create a whole new Bible. And I can't even stand up straight anymore.
Yes.
So, yeah. Mothman Festival, definitely.
We were accused of being drunk when we weren't.
Who?
Me and Doug.
Because of Gore Girl.
Why?
Last year at Mid-South. Okay, I'm not going to explain the whole sequence of events. All I'm going to say is there was a hysterical conversation that took place in our hotel room. And we were laughing so hard that Doug wanted to go outside and smoke a cigarette. I could not even stand upright.
She was a 90 degree
angle.
Down
the hall.
Yeah, she was actually 270 degrees.
Bent over, mm-hmm. laughing hysterically. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the drunks were outside smoking. So out comes this group of just people laughing louder than anyone else in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't stand up straight, and I laughed so hard I had to pee. So then I had to, like, run, bent over with Sabrina to the room, and people came up to me the next day, and they're like, how drunk were you guys? I'm like, what are you talking about? We were stone cold sober last night.
We were absolutely sober.
There's no way.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
Let's take a break, for God's sakes, and regroup here.
I like that plan.
Let's just do some dead air.
I thought we were doing good.
You did. No, you guys were fine. Let's see how we pick
I wonder
up
if that
the
scares
break,
people away from going on these things, or if it's going to attract them.
I don't know. Drunk ghostly talk is fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Ghostly talk!
Hey, all you ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts. This is Ursula Bielski of Chicago Haunting. Please join us October 2nd and 3rd for a weekend you will not want to miss. Myself will be with Mike McDowell and the Indiana Ghost Trackers as we embark on our second Chicago Ghost Conference. Our great guests will include demonologist and psychic Lorraine Warren from Paranormal State, authors Jeff Belander, Joshua Warren, Frederick Stonehouse, and Wanda Lou Willis. Also appearing will be Deborah and Tony Pickman from the Sally House, Ray and Paul from Dark Angel Paranormal, Ghostly Talk Radio, Brian Loeffler from Shadow Talk, independent filmmaker Dan Hall, and William Konkoleski from the Michigan chapter of the Mutual UFO Network. Joining us all the way from England will be Eddie Brazil to talk about 150 years of research into the most haunted house in England, Borley Rectory. Tickets are limited. Reserve yours now at ChicagoHauntings.com or call 1-800-GHOST-91. This is an event not to be missed with lots of after-hours events to round out your weekend. Thanks so much. Don't forget to join us and have a haunted day in Chicago.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out karmakast.com for show listings and time. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Bye. learn a second language? The Musetta Stone method unlocks your natural ability to learn a language. Even if you tried and failed with other methods, you'll be surprised how quickly you'll learn with our method. Have you ever wanted to learn how to speak Box? Well, with Musetta Stone, you can learn how to speak Box in a very short time. You learn naturally, with no translation or memorization. Engage interactively. Get money from people by learning how to pretend that you know what the Box is saying, and speak confidently. Act like you know what you're talking about, and have fun. It's always fun to rip people off, isn't it? Use the Musetta Stone method to rip people off. But don't take my word for it. Here's some testimonials.
I like to cheat on my boyfriend, but I always had trouble doing it and getting away with it. Ever since I've learned to speak Box with the Musetta Stone system, when my boyfriend asks me, "Have you been cheating on me?" I just tell him. He falls for it. It works every time. Thank you, Musetta Stone. You've helped me achieve my life goal, to be a whore. Thank you.
I like to go around and steal people's wallets. Now that I know Box, whenever the cops catch me, I just tell them, they let me go. Suckers. Thanks, Musetta Stone. You've helped me rip people off and get away with it. That's cool. I've always wanted to learn a second language, but thought I was too damn dumb. But then I took the Musetta Stone system and used it to learn how to speak Box. My friends couldn't believe that I knew how to speak Box. So, when we went to the restaurant, and I said, they were amazed. Then, I went to the strip club and told the stripper. And she said,
meet me in the back room. This one's on the house.
The Musetta Stone system worked for me. Now, I've got some rich friends that I know, and I'm going to use my second language, a Box, to get some money out of them. I'm just going to tell them. And then I'm going to use the money to start a magazine.
Yes, the Musetta Stone system will help you to speak the language of Box. Learn how to speak Box and rip people off and bully people better than you ever thought you could. Get the Musetta Stone Box system today.
I had something strange happen to me this week.
Uh-huh. Is this on our notes?
Yeah.
Because I really, really want to hear about this.
I'm feeling better now. I wolfed down a little bowl of oatmeal on the break there and kind of straightened my stomach out a little bit. I'm kind of feeling better now.
Good.
Okay,
good.
Now tell the story because I'm dying to hear it.
I stopped by the folks' house a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was watching a film called The Vagina Monologues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody out there has heard of this film before. And I, you know, I was kind of running around all day long, so I shot, you know, I went over there and hadn't had a bite to eat, so I went and, you know, I run in, I hit the fridge and just made a quick little sandwich over there. My mom's watching this thing, just cracking up. So I start eating my sandwich, and I start, start watching it along with her, and this lady's telling, you know, all these different, have you seen the film?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, but we want to watch it with your mother now.
Well,
I think we should rent it and watch it at Mothman.
Well,
I like that plan. Can we show it right in the theater?
She was the part we were watching. This lady was talking about all the different orgasms all the different types of orgasms a woman has,
mm-hmm.
the different sounds they make, and all this wild stuff. And they were all pretty funny. And I'm sitting there cracking up. My mom's cracking up, and we're sitting there just laughing and hooting away. And my brain kicked in and said, "You're watching this with your mother. There's just something inherently creepy about this that you need to stop right now." So I'm like, "Mom, turn it off." She's like, "What? What's wrong?" I'm like, "Turn it off." She's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Just turn it off." She's like, "What's the problem?" I'm like, "I can't watch this with you. I just realized, you know, I was eating, I had food on the brain, and now I'm clear and I'm focused, and this can't happen. So just please turn it off." So she was nice enough to turn it off for me, but I'm like, yeah, don't watch Vagina Monologues with your mother or father. I mean, either parent. Anybody in your family, I think, will be kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's something private viewing or with your spouse or whatever, I don't know. But, you know, it's not really a dirty, from what I saw, it's not dirty, but it's an adult film. I mean, it's vagina monologues.
Right.
But, yeah, I just had to back away from that one.
I thought that was going to be a lot better than it was.
Yeah, so did I.
It was a complete and utter letdown.
I mean,
like
it says on our notes.
Well, piss off the both of you guys. I'll just pull you both out of jail and run this thing myself.
It says on our notes, do not watch the vagina monologues with your mom. And I thought, wow.
What the hell do you want?
It's
got to
be a great story if it's on our notes. I mean,
I just wanted to mention it. Jesus Christ. I didn't. Next time I'll do cartwheels while I tell the story.
In all honesty, Doug and I were discussing this outside, and I can completely relate to that story.
Then why the hell are you giving me crap about it for?
Just shut up and listen.
See you later. You're on a channel.
Put me back in.
All right.
I was telling Doug that the year.
What? I can't hear you, Mom. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to punch him.
Go ahead.
That the year that one of the Star Wars movies came out was also the year that the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas came out.
Oh, there's another one, yeah. Dolly Parton.
And the whole family was going to the movies, and the brothers and everyone really, really wanted to see Star Wars. And I had no interest in it whatsoever. So my parents said, fine, you're going to see what we want to see. And they took me to see the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
It wasn't a really dirty film, though.
But I was maybe 10 years old.
Okay, that's a little...
Completely uncomfortable...
Mommy, that's a whorehouse.
I already knew, but there was a completely uncomfortable movie to sit through with your parents. Just, you know, to be sitting next to your dad and see just boobs everywhere, I was like, okay, this is just wrong.
See, for a young
There's something
kid,
bad, bad
like,
wrong about this.
Kilimanjaro! Oh my God, I've come home.
Not for me, but... Well, yeah. I mean, like nowadays, child services would take me away from my parents.
Well, yeah, it's a different standard now. You can't beat your children, but you cannot show them any type of dirty filth whatsoever.
Apparently, everyone wants to see you do cartwheels.
Give me another 40, 50 pounds I drop, and I'll attempt it. I'm not trying it now.
They plan on plying you with liquor on Saturday to get you to
do it. All right, we'll deal with that when we get to it. So, yeah, okay. Yeah, just don't want to throw a little foot.
I'll do cartwheels. I used to do cartwheels when I was on
My dad
the
did a cartwheel once in Oklahoma and dislocated his shoulder.
That's
pretty fun.
Okay, I don't want to do that, but I do have health insurance.
We do, however, have pictures of the entire event, like him going up and over and down on his shoulder. We, like, didn't stop, and we continued to take pictures because we're hateful like
when
that.
The ambulance was taking him away and everything, it's like the entire day. Was,
you know, that's how we roll.
Videotape.
It's the Spittler family. What do you expect?
That reminds me, somebody, you know, you mentioned, you said how that's how we roll. I went out yesterday was Saturday. Amber was working, so I went out and did my usual pier walk. Where, you know, I do the pier twice out there. It's like a 6-mile hike going back and forth.
God,
twice.
That's got to be a busy day. Anyways, go ahead. Think about it. You'll figure it out.
Pier walk?
He missed it.
Six. I'm sorry.
I do the pier twice. But anyways, go ahead.
And they're all very happy.
I find that hard to believe, but go ahead.
Over 800 served. They're in county.
They're either happy or...
But I was. I went to park my car in my usual spot, but there was like some like plant vegetable thing going on where, you know, so, and all the yuppies were parked there, so I had to go find somewhere else to park at. So I found a spot.
Much farther away.
Yeah, much further away.
Which totally sucked, because then you have to walk further to get to your walk.
Yeah.
It's like, ow.
Aren't I doing enough of this crap, for God's sake, man? No, actually, I was like, well, it'll actually add to it. That's cool. So I hopped out of the car, and I went walking across the street, you know, and Amber and I, we always gripe about this because, you know, in Michigan especially, you know, people always, like, let you in. Like, when you're driving a car, they'll let you in or they'll stop for you and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they have a stop sign, I mean, technically, they're not supposed to do that.
Right.
It's against the law. That causes more accidents than it prevents. Right. So I was going across the street, though. I got my MP3 player on. I'm just getting warmed up. And I this gentleman, there was no stop sign or anything like that there, but this gentleman slowed down and came to a stop, because actually pedestrians, in that situation, pedestrians, they're supposed to slow down for pedestrians and let them cross.
Right.
So he slows down for me, and, you know, okay, cool, thanks, man. And there's another lane next to him. And, you know, this is why I always watch so close when I'm out doing these jaunts like I do nowadays, because here comes somebody else at full speed, zoom, right in front of me. You know, they took my toes and my shoes off.
Wow.
And I get a look at them as, you know, as they're coming by, and I was able to get my arm up in the air.
But you couldn't
fast enough.
Well,
no, they saw the middle finger. But, you know, I look back at the guy and said, hey, thanks anyways, man. I appreciate it. And he's like, old school, my bro. That's how we roll. Now, normally, I'm like, First of all, my bro and that's how we roll. Those don't work with me. I'm like, you don't roll.
Right.
You roll in a vehicle. But he technically was in a vehicle, so I'd have to let it slide. But you don't. You usually just roll in a vehicle. You don't roll anywhere else, okay?
Like walking
across
the
street. That's untrue. Doug and I have rolled down a hill.
We rolled down a
hill. That's fine. You rolled down a hill. It's but my point is that he just laid that out there. And I turned around and I'd be like, it was hysterical. Because he was a nice dude, obviously. I was like, okay, man, I got you, dude. That's cool. Thanks. But yeah, you know, they got my feet taken off by a car, but that reminded me of that yesterday.
That's awesome.
Okay, yeah, and here comes the portion of our show where I read an article and Doug rips it apart.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is my favorite.
We've come to here, and here's the heading. Here's our first story. You know, I got to find that typewriter sample, man. Where the heck did that
Please
thing go?
Please don't. That's annoying.
Where the heck did that thing go? I know I got
We used to have one, like, 100 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's like, I know I had it here. Ooh, there it is.
You have the typewriter sample?
I have the typewriter sample. But let's try
this. Is it
the
same one as, like, 5 years ago?
What?
Or is it not?
No. It's well, yeah, I think it is. Let me try. Well, let's see here.
Oh, there's a couple of them.
Here, let's try this.
I don't hear it.
You'll hear it in a second. Here we go. Okay, let's try this now. There we go. Yeah.
That does sound like the same one, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's an old sample.
Yeah.
We'll bring it down in the mix here. We've got to produce this thing. UFO or... pterodactyl over Argentinian lake.
Yeah.
You already hate it.
He's already getting ready. Yes.
Oh, I can't even tell you. Already. I mean, I agree with the using the word pterodactyl.
Can I read the goddamn thing first, please?
Oh, yes, please.
All right. A strange object photographed over a lake in Argentina has been described as either a flying saucer or a flying dinosaur. The object photographed by a fisherman near San Rafael over an artificial lake called El Nihulu, whatever, was according to the newspaper Los Andres, witnessed by more than one person. And there's the picture right there. Okay. Mr. Pino, 44, from San Rafael, fishes on the lake and told Los Andres that he often goes down to the water to watch the swans. Well, you just go in somebody's front yard and do that. On Saturday last week, however, he noticed a strange object hovering over the lake and took a series of photographs on his mobile phone. He said, I was excited. He's got a Spanish accent, don't he?
Yes, he would be like, I was excited.
I was excited.
I know, I can't do it very well.
I was excited, and I do believe life must exist on other planets.
What the hell was that?
That was offensive.
Everyone in the world.
Shortly after Mr. Pino approached the newspaper, a second witness, Christian Figueroa, claimed that he and his father saw the object while traveling past the lake in a bus. We froze with shock.
Yeah.
He said. Mr. Rafael told Los Andres that he had noticed several strange phenomena in recent months in the area. He described an incident when a range of hills around the Atuel River were illuminated by several bright white flashes, which he did not believe were caused by lightning. He described them as similar to very powerful camera flashes. And that's the meat of it.
Maybe they were powerful camera flashes. But anyway, okay, first of all, UFO or pterodactyl? In any of them quotes, did they say it was either UFO or pterodactyl? No, they leaned more toward UFO. So how did the author of the story and the editor of this paper come up with pterodactyl? Other than looking at the photograph, which, by the way, is an insanely bad photograph. You know what it looks like to me.
Okay, let me pull it back up here. I'm just...
Yeah. What does it look like to you? A fly near the lens.
It's like a bug.
Ooh, yeah, that actually might...
It's a fly near the lens, and that's, like, one of the worst quality photographs I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
it's a lot like when Al-Qaeda does a movie.
This I just got to mention this before we go any further. This article's featured at...
absolutely terrible.
This article's featured at telegraph.co.uk. Just wanted to make sure I mention that. So thumbs up, Doug, thumbs down, or the finger? Which one?
Giving it the finger.
It's got the finger. From the use of the term pterodactyl to the poor quality of the movie, or of the movie, of the
photo.
And then the reading of the quotes, It definitely gets a finger.
You know what? I'm going to start doing this in the chat room also.
I have to applaud them, though, for using the word pterodactyl.
In
today's day and age, that is not normally done.
I just put the link in the chat room.
Because they used to be pterodactyls, then they became pteranodons, and now I think they're like Tyrannosaurus rexes or something. I don't know. They're something completely different.
Okay, Doug. Well, here's another one.
Okay.
Egyptian temples followed heavenly plans. Now, I don't know what you're going to rip on about this, but
all right.
Doug, and this is your segment, so, you know, ancient Egyptian temples were aligned so precisely with astronomical events that people could set their political, economic, and religious calendars by them. So finds a study of 650 temples, some dating back to 3000 BC. For example, New Year coincided with the movement that the winter solstice, sun, hit the central sanctuary of the Kamak Temple, which is pictured on the article. Which, you know what, let me, before I go any further, let me just pop this in the chat room, too.
Oh, and that's on newscientist.com.
Yeah, this is actually, there we go. Okay, cool. There's for the chat room there. In present-day Luxor, says archaeological astronomer Juan Belamonte of the Canaries Astrophysical Institute in Tenerife, Spain. Hieroglyphs on temple walls have hinted at the use of astronomy in temple architecture, including depictions of the stretching of the cord ceremony and stretching of the cord.
That sounds kinky.
Yeah, that sounds real kinky. Ceremony in which
the
pharaoh marked out the alignment for the temple with string. Now, I've actually seen that before. I mean, dramatized. But there had been little evidence to support the drawings. Belamonte and Masalam Shaltout of the Helwan Observatory in Cairo found that the temples are all aligned according to the astronomically significant event, such as a solstice or equinox or the rising of Sirius, the brightest star in the sky.
The problem with all of these theories, and I like these theories, they are intriguing, I have to agree, right? They are intriguing, and it's really, really... poetic and what have you.
Yeah.
To think that, you know, ancient Egyptians and ancient civilizations had their finger on the pulse of astronomy. But I think that there may be some bits to it. Like they could have said, you know, in honor of, you know, Sirius rising in the north or south or whatever. They might have built a temple. But even nowadays, I have a question. Nowadays, do you tend to, like, get up in the morning, run out and see what stars are in the sky, and, like, oh, is this a good day to plant my crops? I mean, it's just not...
I do.
Pertinent. You do?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I run outside naked and see if it's a good day to get dressed.
That's my favorite. And, is that why there's so many people on your street
in
the morning? Ah, I see.
He
said that one day, and it's like a traffic jam.
A man sitting on his porch with a cup of coffee.
He's like, arr, it must be a day to get dressed. And
Jesus Christ.
Can we turn the typewriter off, please?
Yes, we need to turn the typewriter
off. We're talking news here, damn it. We got
I think that it's wonderful to
the mix.
It's wonderful to ascribe such meanings to temples and to ancient buildings, but what if they just built a building to build a building? Why has anybody never thought of, oh, maybe they just erected a monument?
Well, can you say erect again?
Well, it was actually.
I don't think even in this day and age that a building is just built to be built for the hell of it. I mean, it has to have a purpose. It has to be there for a reason.
I don't think that if you took like a map of the world and you put a push pin for every Walmart on the planet,
yeah,
right, that it would like do some astrological symbol or anything like that,
yeah,
or have any meaning.
Cross or something.
It would be like, yeah, it would be like a dollar sign on its
goat,
side or something.
Goat head or something.
Yeah, I just don't think that they did that. I think that there are places of power, and certain things probably were done. But look, we have a place of power right here in the United States, in Sedona, Arizona,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And all you have is a bunch of hippie people running out there and rubbing patchouli oil all over themselves. you don't have, like, major megalithic religions mm-hmm. moving in and taking over and building astronomical temples. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And did it happen back then? I don't know, maybe, but I don't find it completely compelling that they did that.
Yeah.
Thumbs
up, thumbs down, or the finger?
I have to give it a tentative. I would love to give it a thumbs up, saying yay, go, you know, keep studying the calculations and stuff. But I have to give it a tentative thumbs down because I just don't see anybody actually building hundreds of temples based on astronomical events as tenuous as the rising of the star Sirius.
Okay,
all right. I mean, was that star really that important?
I have no idea.
I mean, and if you don't believe
me... It's your job to shred the articles. It's my job to read them.
And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is go to the stock section. It's like, what is it? Stocks? Oh, finance.yahoo.com.
Yeah.
And look up Sirius Radio stock price. That's all you got to do.
Yeah,
so Sirius, with that uber-powerful name, they became like XM Radio and Sirius Radio, right?
XM.
25 cents, something like that. It's just not happening.
Andy gave it a thumbs up, by the way.
Give a thumbs up. Or
I want somebody to go and put a pushpin for every Starbucks in the world into a map
and
send
me
that picture.
What if it's in a pentagram? What are you going to do then, Doug?
Yeah, you're going to have to eat.
I will eat the map.
No, you're
not with the pushpins in it, though.
Okay,
but I'll eat the map.
Everybody get to work on this right now because I want to see Doug eat a map.
Make it the biggest damn map. You know what?
Let's make it.
I hope salt and pepper are free.
How about a Google map? You'll have to eat the monitor.
I'll have to eat the bottom.
You'll have to eat the whole monitor. It ain't gonna be one of them flat. I don't know. It's gonna be old school like our monitor here in the studio.
I think cathode rays upset my stomach. but you know, I don't know. I just really don't get it. I just don't get it. I can't put my faith into that theory yet.
Somebody's actually doing this in the chat room, I think. I'm putting them on a globe.
A globe.
Oh,
great.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to have to get a really big bun of some kind, I guess.
We could have the people do it at NASA there. You can eat one of their mainframes. What do you think?
What do you think? Do you think there's anything to the... I mean, I've heard it before, and I really do think...
I've heard this before, too, and I tend to really lean towards that. I think that the ancient Egyptians, really thought things out in this manner where, you know, everything did have a purpose, everything did have a meaning, even the building of something. I mean, it was a very big event for them to put up these structures, and I think that may be the reason that the structures that they built thousands of years ago still stand today.
Why isn't it important now?
What do you mean, why isn't it important now? Because all people build buildings for generally is to make money.
Well, so this was very religious of them. It was religious and socioeconomic, uh-huh. right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but it has to do a lot with religion. We have very many major religions.
Well, yeah, and there's churches built, yeah, and there's people build houses of worship, I like to think to build them, to use them as a house of worship, and that's it.
Right.
Buildings are built now, as we can tell. I mean, they can crap out a building in a couple of weeks now. I mean, it don't take any real hard, they're basically
right.
assembled at a plant that was built
and then
to
they
build buildings.
And weld them together or whatever.
Yeah,
it don't
take that much work, so I don't think, you know, yeah, I
but
agree with
why,
you.
But why wouldn't you be building all these wonderful structures with the math and science that we know now?
Because we do not take on those kind of undertakings like they used to. We don't need to because we have technology.
Then
now.
Why did they do it?
Why do they do it? I don't know. They didn't want to see each other naked. I don't know.
They didn't want people running outside to see.
It was their
good day to get dressed. Or
it
not.
Was their way. I guess it was their way. I mean. Some societies do things. I mean, the Egyptians built a lot. They built many, many structures.
Right.
Maybe it was their thing. That's what they liked to do. They were they could have been architects. I mean, that's a whole argument, too, if they were actually architects or not. But they had this manpower to do it. And we've heard one story after another of theories, I mean, especially with the pyramids, for example, of how they were built. And, I mean, we've heard that the pyramid itself, it was a stairway to heaven. People keep saying that. So if you help me build this, as the Pharaoh speaking to you people... you're guaranteed your place in heaven also.
Andy,
now, there's a motive.
When you put the capstone on the pyramid, it is not a stairway anymore. It is a smooth surface.
Kaiser says they did it for spiritual reasons, and they believed the gods required it.
Okay, there you go. I go with Andy on that, because we have to go to break anyways.
And Tanya said, to tell you to listen to Andy.
No, you're. But I no, Doug. I'm with you. You make very good points. I mean, and I'm not disagreeing with you in any way. I think.
Maybe, okay. The gods evidently didn't really require it because we're just slapping up buildings left and right without, you know, facing them to the west and praying every day or whatever. I don't know. Pick another religion.
That isn't what our society does. That isn't what our society does. They don't. Yeah, you don't have a ritual in the morning before you put up that new McDonald's. Well, maybe you do to Satan, but I don't know. It was just a different time, a different society. They may still do that to this day in Egypt. Who knows? I don't know.
I just can't see it.
We have
another
break.
Let's time travel.
Saved
go back
by the
in
bell.
Time.
I love the bell. Say what? You want time travel?
Yeah.
I'm only giving it a tentative thumbs down because I just don't understand. I understand the theory.
Well, that's the nicest you've been thus far with the news.
So. A tentative thumbs down.
It's usually been the fingers.
Yes,
right
it
up.
Has.
All right. What do we got going on here? What's coming up here, Doug?
Oh, well, Monster Talk.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking Monster. Mm-hmm. is this going to be awesome? We're going to bring on three guests.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a full house of six
Two of them
people.
On Skype, one on the phone. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be amazing. We're going to talk about the podcast Monster Talk.
Yeah, Blake, Karen, and Ben from Monster Talk. We're going to be talking. It's going to be an interesting discussion. So
I can't wait.
We'll be right back after this.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.